7.
Daniel was about 16 years old when he was taken captive out of Israel into Babylon. And when he got there, as we go through the first 6 chapters we've already been through, in the first chapter we ran into, there was some kind of a food test, is it? Oh, can anybody tell me anything about the food test that they had to go through?
They didn't want to eat the king's food and the food that was sacrificed to pagan gods and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So they
and they
got them to,
how did that work turn out?
They got permission to go off for was it 10 days, I think?
Yes.
And see what it looked like, and they were in better shape than the people that were on the other foods.
Okay, all right. In chapter 2, we have where King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and what was the result of that? What happened concerning that?
He wanted these people to tell him what the dream was and what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't tell him what the dream was about.
Right.
He was asking for the impossible. And so they finally, all these people couldn't do it, but they knew of somebody that maybe could help him. So they called Daniel and he took care of it.
He interpreted the dream.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then chapter 3, we had where the King Nebuchadnezzar made this image of this 90-foot tall image of this golden statue of himself. And what was the declaration about that?
You're supposed to bow when the music started playing.
Did everybody do it?
No.
Everybody. Almost.
Everybody, but everybody.
Almost
was down.
Everybody.
Everybody but a few of them.
Okay. And so what was the result of them not doing it?
Thrown into the furnace.
Yes.
Some of Nebuchadnezzar's best buddies got burned up.
His best men.
We got to start first with the fact that the ones that didn't,
right,
that were thrown in, that
they didn't burn, didn't even smell like smoke.
Okay. And then after that, we go into the next chapter where King Nebuchadnezzar has another dream. And how does he react to this one?
No.
Remember the first one, he didn't tell anybody the dream, he just demanded that they interpret it. On this one, what happens?
He did tell his wise men and astrologers and magicians and stuff.
And did they interpret it?
Nope.
No.
He told them, they still couldn't interpret. So once again, Daniel has to come and has to interpret.
I love what Daniel says. Not because of anything that is better in me, but it's because of my God.
Yes.
I love the fact that he took no honor, he took no glory. He was, to be exact, he glorified his God and said, I can't do it, but he can do it through me and give glory to God.
Yes. Amen. Then in chapter 5, I missed on that one, actually, in that dream where he was told that because of his arrogance that he was going to become crazy.
Out in the wilderness.
Eat grass like a wild beast and all like that.
Right.
And until he really came, when he came to himself, and he turned and gave glory to God instead of how he had built his kingdom and all. And so then he came back to his senses. Parting these part ways. All right.
For a little while.
Chapter 5, we have this up. His son is now king, and he's having a celebration, got 1,000 people in, and they're partying together and all. And all of a sudden, something happened.
Using the utensils from the temple.
Uh-huh, and what happens during it?
God gave him the finger.
The finger of God.
He said God gave the finger.
Suddenly, there's this hand that appears and there's handwriting on the wall. And it said that the nation was going to be wiped out as well as that he was going to be taken out. And so what happened as a result of that?
That same night.
That same night. He died.
But Daniel was promoted in the next chamber.
Yes, right. Yeah, he was told that he would, if anybody could interpret it, he would get this purple robe and he would get this gold bracelet and, I mean, necklace, and they would also be promoted to third in the kingdom. How was Daniel's response to that? Yes, I could use all of that.
Yeah, keep it.
You can keep it for yourself.
Right, I don't need any of it. So, but he was still, he was promoted to where he was third.
Yes.
In reigning in the kingdom. All right.
You forgot the Daniel and the Elijah.
Chapter 6.
You forgot Daniel and Elijah.
You got Daniel what?
And Elijah. And Elijah.
Okay. That's where we're going now. Yeah. So,
we did that last week.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I said, that's where we're going. I'm saying that's the next thing we're looking at. And so then we find we have in chapter 6 where the other supposed wise men and all were jealous of Daniel and all, and they come up with this plot that with the king, to the king, that what would happen for the next 30 days.
If they made an appeal to any other than the king,
right,
they'd be thrown in alive.
No prayer or anything like that to any god or any...
Knowing that he did that every day.
Right. So he wouldn't do it for the next 30 days. And then when they set it up in Daniel, because that was his normal way of doing things, he three times a day, he would go and he would pray facing Jerusalem. And when he was caught doing that, then what happened?
Well, for some reason, the king was not too bright and didn't realize what they were doing to set him up. And he had no choice because he had already decreed it.
A decree, what did they call it?
Medes and the Persians.
Medes and Persians, right. And that cannot be changed, according to them. And so he was thrown into the lion's den. And what happened as he was thrown in?
The lions were disappointed.
They
were disappointed.
They didn't touch it.
They teased him.
Yep. And when the king saw that, the next morning when he got up and he called and he asked, Daniel, is your God able to keep you? And Daniel responded,
yes, he is.
O king, live forever.
Yeah. And so as a result, the king had Daniel taken out. And what happened as a result?
The others got thrown in the kids,
in their families.
Yes, their whole families.
They were devoured before they touched the bottom of the pit.
Exactly. All right, so we're
following. The lions really were hungry, huh?
Yes,
they were really hungry.
Daniel
didn't want any Jewish food. All right.
So
they want no Jewish blood.
I thought that meat was too tough.
Okay, so from there then we go to chapter 7. Somebody wants to start off for us.
In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying on his bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it."
Okay, let me just offer this for what it's worth. They don't give the real interpretation in this chapter. They don't give the interpretation of the dream. So anything that comes has to be assumed. So I'm going to ask if anybody has any idea what this could be symbolic of. If not, I will offer for what it's worth.
It's some person that's lifted up.
Okay. And that's a consideration. When I long ago, as I prayed about this, I felt like that this is something approaching the end days, and that these beasts that they're talking about, usually beasts are symbolic of nations. And so the first one, it says that it was a lion. Does anybody know what nation the lion is their symbol?
That's Israel, isn't it?
No.
Oh, no, the Egyptians. The Egyptians.
Oh, oh, oh.
How about England? Okay. And then it
England?
Said, and it had eagle's wings. Anybody know anything about an eagle that came forth from a symbol of eagle that came forth from a lion? From England, I should say. It has the symbol of the eagle, uses the symbol of the eagle.
I'm confused. I didn't even know that England was a country at that time.
It wasn't.
Oh, okay.
That's
oh, you're talking about end time. Okay, got this.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's why
I'm a little slow.
And if you have to go, when
no,
you
were thinking right.
When you go to the book of Revelation, you will see this connection again between the lion that has eagle's wings and the things that it does, and it's very symbolic of how of America in the last days. And so let's see what happens with this lion that had the eagle's wings.
And there before me was a second beast.
No, before we go there, I watched. We still,
the first
and there was
like
the eagle's wings, yeah. And it had eagle's wings.
And they were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it.
Okay. I watched till its wings were plucked off when America was torn away from England. And it said it watched until that it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and its heart, a man's heart, was given to it. Does that not sound kind of like America? Does any nation that has had really a man's heart, would it not be the United States of America? Okay, and like I said, you have to tie a lot of this in also with the book of Revelation, as John reveals things about the end times also that run almost directly in line with a lot of this. Okay, so a man's heart was given to it. Okay.
Verse 5.
Yes.
And there before me was a second beast which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. it was told, get up and eat your fill of flesh.
Okay, wow. Now you have another beast that arises. And it symbol was that of a bear.
That's Russia, isn't it?
Yes, Russia. As we approach the last days, all of a sudden, now again, you have where Russia is actually, even though I believe right now it's afraid to actually launch out, but it is actually making threats against attacking America. Okay? And so, and its whole desire is to be in control of the world. So in its mouth, it had three ribs that between its teeth, and could have been, could be. And it was said, arise, and they said to it, arise, devour much flesh. And so you got many nations that are wanting for Russia to rise up, especially against America. And when you know that their whole, they are a very, what's my word here? They are not, yeah, I mean, they're communists, but they're not, not a humanitarian nation. They don't really care about people. And their whole thing is they will destroy if they have to in order to try to take over. Okay, and like I said, in this, I'm not declaring. I'm trying to tie some of it in with what you see in the book of Revelation. Also, these two books have a lot of things that run together. And if you look at it with the symbolism of the nations, the animals with the nations, they do try to, they do in a lot of ways come together towards what's going on in the last days.
What does the three ribs in its mouth symbolize?
I don't know.
Is that three countries that are under
it? She said they were possibly three. And I hadn't thought of that. I hadn't even thought of that. But yes, that could be symbolic of three smaller nations that they're trying to devour.
Poland, yeah.
So, what's the one over here? Yeah.
So we pray together, because like I said, I don't, a lot of this part of what we're going through here is really deep, and I don't claim to know. And I'm looking at Pastor Roy to help me out.
How's he doing, Pastor Roy?
Oh, I don't know. I don't even guess.
So that's what I'm saying. I'm not declaring this. I'm saying, as I have read and studied and prayed, these are some of the symbols that I feel that God has given me. So you have to pray about it yourself also, because I'm not saying it's absolute. I don't want nobody going out and declaring that Pastor Young declares that this is what it's going to be. No, I'm just saying that this is what I feel that I have been given about it. Okay? All right.
After that, I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard. Mm-hmm. And on its back, it had four wings like those of a bird. This beast had four heads, and it was given authority to rule.
And I think because it just came back to me. The whole time I was studying this, I could not remember what that leopard thing was. Because a lot of this I studied years ago, and I used to really think I knew a lot about this. That leopard, I believe, was Germany.
And it had four heads?
Huh? The wings of four birds. Like, I don't know what all of that was symbolic of. Hadn't gone back and restudied the whole thing before tonight. But there was a time when I had this much more together than I do tonight, and I apologize for that. Okay.
After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns.
Okay, let's stop right there. Right now, we are going into the time of the Great Tribulation. When we talk about that beast with the 10 horns, that is in the book of Revelation. Also, it speaks of that same beast, and it's during the time of the Great Tribulation. So this is what I believe that we it is drawn from the time that America, as it will have the heart of a man and all like that, but then I believe that Russia is going to be somehow take over, and that's going to be leading into the start of the tribulation period. The church is taken out, and then now we're coming to what we're reading here is the Great Tribulation is beginning or has begun. Okay? Verse 8.
While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, mm-hmm. a little one,
mm-hmm.
which came up among them, and three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth that spoke boastfully.
Anybody have any idea who that might be? How about the Antichrist? Believe that this one is symbolic. It's symbolic as it's talking about the end times. When you have the 10 nations, he comes and he takes over and influences all of them, but he destroys three of them. And he speaks words that basically has everybody fearful of him. And so he becomes the leader of the 10 nations and actually the world at the time.
How do you take horns and uproot them?
Those horns are symbolic of nations. He takes over those nations.
And if he takes over them, he rules them the way he wanted them.
Right.
That's what they've been living, how they've been living.
Yes. And where it becomes one nation in the end times, that's what happens. There becomes one nation. I mean, you become one, there's one government, a nation that takes over. And there's one leader, I should say, of the nation that takes over all nations. And he speaks words that everybody's fearful of, and so they all just come under his leadership. And that's
what
I
find interesting that God did not give Daniel an interpretation of his dream.
Right.
Simply saying this is futuristic.
Exactly.
So I find it interesting that he gave him the dream with no interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
I believe probably there will come a point in time when all of a sudden God will give us understanding.
Yes.
But there will be a reason he gives us understanding.
Yes.
And so he is withholding understanding at this time, but I believe that there will be a time when he will open it up and we will see and we will understand.
So,
and then it will correlate with Revelation also, giving us a greater understanding.
Well, one thing I believe in that is like when Bob said just now, I didn't know that England was a country back then. Exactly, he didn't give an interpretation because many of these things,
sure.
They, and the part about America having come from England and all, they weren't even in
yep.
existence
who,
back
who,
then.
Who would have known who he was talking about because they weren't there?
Exactly.
So, and I just thank God that he puts things out here like this for us to pay attention to, to be watching.
And if we see things coming to pass, we realize, oh, that might be what God was speaking of.
Mm-hmm. I think he delights in us figuring stuff out when at the right time.
Yes.
You know, he enjoys that.
Yep.
Well, I believe he opens up our understanding for a purpose.
Yes.
Not
yes.
just out of curiosity.
And according to
but
his
for
time.
A purpose.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so I think we won't really understand it until God opens it up.
Right.
And then when he does, it will be for our purposes.
Amen.
So.
Okay. Verse 9.
As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were open.
Okay, this Ancient of Days, anybody got any idea who that might be?
I think he's been referred to it in a few other places.
Yeah.
So that one's pretty certain.
So who do we think that is?
Lord God, the judge.
Ancient of Days, yes. I believe that that is God.
Yes.
Okay. And then we come to the part where it says, and 1,000 thousands ministered to him. Those would probably be angels. And not the 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him to be judged.
Yeah,
that would
right.
be us.
Yeah.
And the book.
Yes.
Referred to in Revelation 20.
All right. Okay. 11.
Then I continued to watch because the boastful words of the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire.
Mm-hmm.
The other beast had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time.
Okay, so now once again, beasts usually represent governments, all right? And he said, remember the one that the little horn that was speaking these great words of blasphemy, which was probably the Antichrist, and he said, I watched until he was slain. That would be at the end of the Great Tribulation. And was destroyed and given to the burning flame, and the rest of the beast, all of the other governments and powers that he had taken authority over, their dominion was taken away, and yet they weren't completely thrown away,
mm-hmm.
for they were prolonged for a season and a time, because even after the Great Tribulation, it's not going to all be done away with, because Jesus is going to come back with us to reign for 1,000 years. Okay? And everybody is not going to be, it's not going to be just the church, I mean just the believers. Those that were not taken out during the rapture and that lived through the tribulation period, when we come back, they're still going to be here, and they're still going to be given another chance. And it says, so they had, the nations had their dominion taken away, because Jesus will be the king, will rule for that 1,000-year period.
And Satan will be bound.
Exactly. Satan will be bound, but the nations, the people, when I say nations, there won't be other governments,
mm-hmm.
but the people of the other nations will still be here. Okay?
In my vision at night, I looked, And there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven.
Okay. Who do you think that is?
Jesus.
Amen. Uh-huh.
He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power.
Mm-hmm.
All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him.
Mm-hmm.
His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed.
Okay, so he had already been seated at the right hand of the Father. But this time when he comes to him, he is given to go back to earth and given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all the people of the earth will worship him for that 1,000-year period.
Amen.
Okay, and but even though that is not going to be the end of his dominion, but his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. And his kingdom is the one that shall not be destroyed. So it will only be here on earth for another 1,000 years. After that, then we will be brought for judgment, and God creates a new heaven and a new earth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 15.
Well, it says the people, my page is going
right.
He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. And it sounds like then that's everybody that was here on earth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But you said that those other people that were not believers were here too.
No, they were. There were still some here that were during that 1,000-year period that had not necessarily been converted. But it says that to him was given, I mean, then all people's nations, languages should serve him. It's saying that people from every nation, not all the people of all the nations, but just that people from every nation came and were in worship him.
Every tongue, every nation.
Okay, I got it.
But remember, Satan is not active during this period of time.
Right.
They are not tempted. They can't be tempted because they're Satan. And so during this period of time, it says a sinner lived to be 100 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the key is, Satan is loosed
after that
to
years.
Tempt them,
yes,
so that they will be proven whom they will serve.
Exactly.
Right.
Then God will judge.
Yes.
And we have a new heaven, new earth.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there and asked him the true meaning of all this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things.
So you see why we're struggling with it? Daniel had to ask one of the angels that was standing by, well, what's this about? What's going on?
And he's the guy that was interpreting dreams.
Right.
He should have known.
But there were things that were even hidden from him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The four great beasts are four kingdoms that will rise from the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Then I wanted to know the true meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others and most terrifying, with its iron teeth and bronze claws. The beast that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on its head and about the other horn that came up, before which three of them fell. The horn that looked more imposing than the others and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully.
Once again, I believe that this has to do with the time of the Great Tribulation going on, that all of these things, and he's wondering what he's looking at here. Why is he seeing all of this?
As I watched, this horn was wagging, waging war against the saints and defeating them, until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came when they possessed the kingdom. He gave me this explanation. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms,
yes,
and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. The ten horns are ten kings who will come from this kingdom. After them, another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue three kings.
So this is once again the time of the great tribulation.
He will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints and try to change the set times and the laws. The saints will be handed over to him for a time, times and half a time.
Okay, wait, for how long?
Times, for a time, times and half a time.
Okay.
Is that 7 years?
That's three and a half years. Mm-hmm. A time, that's one, and times, that's two. 1 + 2 = 3, and half a time, 3.5. Mm-hmm. And when we read, once again, through more of this book, but also through Revelation, it talks about, sometimes it defines it as 1,260 days, which is also 3.5 years. Sometimes it defines it as 42 months, which is also 3.5 years, which is the time of the great tribulation. It will be 3.5 years. We say 7 years, but I believe it will be 3.5 years each time. There's nowhere that I see where it says 7 years, but I see several times where it indicates 3.5 years. But the tribulation period could be 7, but the great tribulation will be 3.5.
Okay, well, the reason I said 7 was because for a time, and that was Nebuchadnezzar, for a time ended up being 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I said 7.
But in this, each time when it refers to it, several times it refers to this situation, but it gives the number of days come out to 3.5 years, the number of months come out to 3.5 years, and even with this, time and times and a half a time, it would come out to 3.5.
Okay.
Once again, you'll still get to heaven if he's wrong.
Exactly.
It
has nothing to do with salvation.
They might do you feel better. Because if you don't get it right, you'll join the rest of us.
Right.
Exactly.
Here's what I hear God saying. I want you to realize that I have control.
Yes.
Of all things, in all times, in all seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And when I make it real to you, you'll realize I'm in control. You don't have to be afraid.
Exactly.
You're going to be with me. You're going to serve me. You're going to... And he knows the end from the beginning.
Yes.
And only God knows it. And when we walk away and we say, I really don't understand, good. Because only God knows.
Exactly.
And really understand.
Right.
Anybody really thinks they understand? Probably are wrong. So for us, it just, I think we need to stand in awe, because as it's fulfilled, God will open up our understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And we will just stand in awe of him. And we'll realize, boy, I sure missed it. But you know what? This is no surprise to him. He knew. He has it under control. I don't have to be fearful.
Right.
I can rest in him. And when he reveals it, he'll reveal it for us in our sake, that we might worship him and stand in awe of him and
Amen.
Not be fearful.
But the court will sit, and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High.
Yes.
There you go.
His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom,
mm-hmm.
and all rulers will worship and obey him.
Amen.
There you go.
This is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts, and my face turned pale.
So he didn't understand it either.
Right.
That's right. And that's the guy that God gave understanding. So he didn't want him to have understanding. That's why he withheld it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
But I kept the matter to myself.
So in other words, I kept thinking about it and pondering on it, but I did realize I didn't quite understand it.
Well,
so
God chose not to give him understanding.
Right.
Which one is what?
So we shouldn't be shocked when we don't have understanding.
Right.
But when the time's right, I believe he will cause us to see it and stand in awe of him.
Amen. All right. Anybody got any questions to this stuff that we don't all fully understand?
So. You know what they say, we'll understand it all by and by.
Well, to me, God knows the end from the beginning, and he's shown us this, and didn't show Daniel, it hasn't shown us, but I think when it happens, he'll have a reason when he reveals it to us, and it will help us to know him and stand in awe of him.
Amen.
Only God.
Amen.
Will know.
Yeah, I kind of think that in eternity, I think we will still be learning. Forever and ever and ever. He'd be teaching us and showing us things that we couldn't possibly even fathom.
Well, for 2,000 years, he's been showing us he's a God of love, mercy, and grace.
Mm-hmm.
And displayed it in so many levels in so mm-hmm. many ways. Throughout eternity, he's going to be displaying his glory.
Mm-hmm.
If for a couple thousand years he can display his love, glory, and grace, I mean, can you imagine throughout eternity he's going to mm-hmm. show us of how amazing he is.
Amen.
And it's beyond anything we can comprehend. And we're just going to do what the angel did. When they said, holy, 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 they were just standing in awe at how God deals with us.
Yep.
That he forgives us, he shows us mercy and grace. And in a sense, like, oh my goodness, God, you're just amazing.
Amen.
And how you deal with mankind in their sinfulness and in their rebellion and all this. I just stand in awe of you.
Amen.
And so throughout eternity, we're going to participate with him.
Yes.
And we're going to stand in awe of him as he reveals who he is and how he continues throughout eternity displaying his glory.
Yes.
Okay, well, can we get a closing prayer?
God, I thank you that you do know the end from the beginning.
Yes,
and that we serve you and you are with us and you are for us and you will never leave us nor forsake us.
Yes.
And we just bless your name and we stand in awe even as we read this, God, that you know the end from the beginning because there's nobody like you.
Yes.
We just bless your name and we magnify your name.
Praise
glorify it, I pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Jesus.